All right, Deshaun. Like I said, I keep seeing whether it's Twitter, whether it's Reddit, whether it's talking to people in person. I was talking to some of my family at Thanksgiving last week, and here was the question I was asked. You think Nate McMillan's on the hot seat? And I rolled my eyes and I thought, is this what we're doing? And here was the information I was given at the time, which is still true right now. Through 21 games, Deshaun, the Hawks are 11-10. Do you know what the Atlanta Hawks record was through 21 games a season ago, which was a season of disappointment? They were 11-10. This is
go figure.
Yeah, this team has the exact same record that they did a season ago, but I feel like I feel completely different about this team this year than I do last year. And you, I think here's the key, Deshaun. We're talking about, we're panicking. We're pulling the panic button over a three-game losing streak the Atlanta Hawks have right now. Before the Hawks went 11-10, they had had a six-game losing streak and then made up for it with a seven-game winning streak. Like, that was not a team built for success when you can go through those long stretches. Like, that felt very chaotic. This team, it's dropping one here, but winning a few here, dropping one there. So, just before we get into the main question of, should Nate McMillan be on the hot seat? I want you to hear an important thing from Nate as he talked about, well, his guards play, because we spent a lot of time talking about DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. Listen to Nate talk about guards running the sets that he calls.
They did what they normally do. They changed their defense. You know, that's the way they've been playing. And what we have to do is our guards got to make sure that we get down and we get organized and get to our spots and run our sets.
Okay, Deshaun, the reason why I played that clip, our guards have to get down, get organized, and run our sets. People who are out here on the put Nate McMillan on the hot seat, I feel like are getting frustrated with the Hawks not performing, obviously, and having these late collapses and not seeing the offense they want, not seeing the defense they want. I'm asking you, Deshaun, are the Hawks, like, players just not listening to Nate more than Nate not calling the right plays for them?
It could be a combination of both. You know, I don't see anything ridiculously disrespectful or crazy not listening to anything that he's saying to do and so forth. I think the hot seat thing is just a little bit ridiculous, only because whatever 365 times two is, that's around the time that, you know, we were, you know, praising how great of a coach that he was. I'm not sure if people were doing that because they felt like, you know, the guy before him was not that great of a coach, so it made him look that much better, or if he's really that great of a coach, but people were praising him at that time. You got to give – everybody's going to have their ups and downs. Everything is going to be transitioning. Everything is going to be development. There's no – again, the sky is not falling.
Yeah.
Give it some time to work itself through. He's essentially kind of working with a new roster. Now, this isn't the same. You don't have the Lou Williams anymore. You don't have the Kevin Herter anymore. You don't have the Danilo Gallinari anymore. You don't have the – you understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't have the Cam Reddish anymore. Things have changed. And for many of those names that I just mentioned, we're not even – and I'm using my fingers and toes now. Okay, so 21. Okay, so we're not even a quarter of the season in with a not just new players, but key contributors to this team.
Yeah.
You have to your society, here I'm going talking about your generation now, Caleb Johnson. You know where I'm going. I'm like the old man now. I'm like you the old man now who tucks in his t-shirts. Your generation, Caleb, with this microwave society and all this, wanting everything to happen just like this. Some guys have the best roster. Look at the Brooklyn. You got rosters that are really good that are just not winning. A lot of the teams that are winning basketball games right now are not just recently putting teams together. They've been together for a little bit, or the key pieces have been together. Yeah, okay, Cleveland and maybe one here and there, fine. Give it some time. Forget about his comments and what he just said. His guys listening to him and this, that, and the third. And some of it, I really believe some of that. I think some of that was just coach talk that we just heard, to be honest. I don't think nothing's really overly alarming or concerning about any of that. We're talking about a 3-game losing streak. If we start talking about 7-game losing streaks and stuff like that, then I'm like, hold on, Caleb, go back and play that for me again type of thing. But right now, I don't feel as crazy about all of this as everyone else does right now. There's games, you heard me ask in the press conference before they even left, and after they played Sacramento, before they even left and went on the road, what kind of conversations are you guys having internally and with one another in this locker room about games that you have to consider must wins? And they turn around and they go, you know, 0-3 after I asked that question. Yeah. 0-3. I'm getting my O's and zeros, my letters and numbers mixed up. But you understand what I'm saying? So yeah. What happens going forward as it's eventually going to get tougher? Orlando's that same Houston team. That's who they are. I watch every game, almost just about every game of Orlando. Don't ask me why. But almost every game of Orlando this season, they are a very hungry team. You know, you've got Denver coming. You got Denver as well. OKC is a little young, hungry team. You got to pull it together, because then the Brooklyns are coming, and then the, you know what I mean? Like Memphis is, you know what I mean? Like it's going to get more difficult, and you're going to turn around. You got to turn around now. And if I'm just being honest, Caleb, I think they will.
Yeah. I think when it comes to the wanting to put Nate McMillan on the hot seat, I just want to call to the attention of who is at the top of the East and West right now. And you end up looking at two different things. You either have a really well put together roster, or you have maybe a younger team or a team that doesn't have stars with a really talented coach. I think the Hawks are in a very interesting position right now, where most people would assume you've got two stars, so you don't need a bit, you know, you don't need a Will Hardy who's game planning super hard for you to get into certain sets or whatever it might be. However, the Hawks haven't been playing necessarily like a team, especially these last three games. The Hawks have been playing like a team who needs the coach who's writing on the, you know, on the dry erase board real hard and calling out and just individually calling up stuff. So, because you look at the Celtics, like that's not a team anymore that I think needs a just crazy X's and O's head coach. Milwaukee, Mike Budenholzer isn't over there just geniusly game planning. I think the overreaction is, or the frustration is put in the wrong place. My Caleb's opinion, you got to look at the front office and you got to look at the players, because the front office is who gave you this team that I think needed more shooting. And we're seeing it pretty obvious now. Needed someone else besides Clint Capella that can hold down that five when he's not there. I don't think it's Onyeka Okongwu. I think Onyeka is really talented and is great for that second unit. But I was wrong, at the beginning of the season, to say that he's a guy who could move into that starting lineup. And then you have to look at the, like, the individually, the players, and say, all right, Trey, all right, DeJounte. DeJounte's been a guy who we were super excited for his leadership, for his maturity. And yet, Deshaun, you know, you were alluding to earlier how we had started talking about, ooh, is DeJounte Murray going to take over as the leader of this team and the face of this team? Where's he been? Where's he been besides tapping folks on the head and chucking up shots? Like, he's not been a guy to really set himself apart, to really take over this team like he was at the beginning of the season. And so that's when I get frustrated with this let's go fire Nate stuff. Like, the grass is not always greener. Like, do you not forget? I don't know. I just get into a position where the cries for to get rid of Lloyd, I wasn't in on, but that worked out. I don't think there's someone on this staff who's just going to immediately come in and change the thing and make it that much better. Like I don't think this team, specifically the guards, Trey and DeJounte, are listening to Nate enough when he's calling these offensive sets, because I think to some extent they've got it figured out. That was a problem that Lloyd Pierce had. And so now you got to get to a point of, like, what's going to change? I don't think it needs to be the head coach.
I want everyone, you, the producer, Rick, every diehard Hawks fan, every neutral, everybody, okay? Diehard Hawks Nation, whatever, what have you. If you're listening to this podcast right now, ask yourself this question. And I can't answer it for you. Only you can answer it for you. And you have to be real. If you're out here not being honest and real with yourself, you got totally different problems, okay? But be true and be real to yourself. You're talking about being true to Atlanta. Be true to Atlanta right now. Be true to you right now. You can't be true to Atlanta if you're not true to you first.
All right.
What are your realistic expectations for this team? Again, realistic expectations for this team at the beginning of the season, when the ball is first tipped up in the air, is your expectations 82-0? Is your expectations after 21 games, you know, 7-0? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not good at math, so that's why I did that. But my point being, though, is that, you know, look at the teams that are ahead of being in the eighth spot right now, tied for eighth, and really not far from being able to be anywhere between a 5-8 or a 6-8 right now, whatever, what have you. That's kind of where I had this team by the time it comes down to them to finish.
Yeah, Deshaun, I mean, you really know,
there's really no teams that are in front of them with the exception of the Washington Wizards, who's barely in front of them, okay, and the Indiana Pacers, where Benedict Mathurin has been playing really good. Outside of that, the Hawks were just – this stuff is going to move and change and switch up so often that I think you have to be real with yourself and ask yourself, you have so many good teams that we're going to – you expected to come in here and be really good. Boston, you thought Miami would be better in the position that they're in. You thought Brooklyn would be better than the position that they're in. You still have Milwaukee, for crying out loud. Chicago's not a terrible team. You're probably going to be somewhere along the lines with the Chicago, maybe. Philly, you knew was going to be really good. They haven't even gotten Harden back yet. So – it's things that you have to remember. This isn't an all-world Hawks team. You're still putting pieces together. You changed up a whole bench, essentially. You're relying on two Holidays, a Johnson, a rookie.
Trent Forrest has gotten real minutes the last two games.
Ask yourself, be real with you. Like, the most productive guy that you got coming off of the Oak right now is Onyeka Okongwu. Okay, realistically speaking, that is your spark off the bench, which is fine. But what do you got coming off after that? A whole bunch of guys who haven't even played in a Hawks uniform for 22 games yet. Like, be realistic and be real with yourself. This is going to change a little bit. There's going to be some moments where it's going to look a lot better, better than it's looked during any point this season. And I'm not sure that we haven't seen the moments yet where it's going to be like, I didn't think it could get any worse after three losses in a row. You know what I mean? That was the worst I've ever seen the Hawks this year, but now it's gotten so much worse. It feels like it's gonna be up and down. But in the moments that it's up, because first of all, there's going to be more up than down. There's going to be more glass half full than empty. There's going to be more positivity and optimism than there is negativity. And when they are rolling and clicking on all cylinders, you're going to feel it. It's coming, but you got to wait your time. Nothing happens overnight.